Good morning. If you would, open your Bibles with me to the book of Joshua this morning, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, church, as we continue a series that we started several weeks ago called Never Ending, How God's Story Changes Yours. Church, I'm so grateful to be alive and to be your pastor during this time, and I want to inspire and challenge you today to be strong and courageous and to replace your thoughts with God's Word. I want to also welcome our Broken Arrow campus and our Coweta campus and our new online campus as we begin to walk through the scriptures day by day together. Church, I want you to know that even though our president and municipality leaders have given us this warning about physical distancing, they said nothing about spiritual distancing. And so your staff is not only diligently praying for you and fervently loves you, but we have an astounding amount of content that is coming your way. We have weekly devotionals coming from our Coweta team and our Broken Arrow teams. We have written devotionals coming from our Coweta team and our Broken Arrow teams. We also are starting today a 21-day prayer guide leading up to Easter. Now, these are verses of the love of God that your staff has chosen specifically with you in mind. And so as we just right now, as we begin to pray and we begin to study God's Word together, why don't we go through this 21-day prayer guide together as we head all the way up to Easter. Well, what I want to do is church, in this tumultuous time, I want to give you a clear word from Joshua chapter 1. Why don't we study in depthly this morning, verses 6 through 9. Now, when we come to Joshua 1, we must remind ourselves that Moses, the servant of the Lord and the leader of God's people at the Exodus and through the wilderness, has died. Joshua now leads in a transitioning of God's people who have for 40 years been outside the land of Canaan and now are to live inside the land of Canaan. That's honestly where we are right now as a church. Since the early 1900s, we've been gathering together each and every Sunday as the church. And now as we've scattered all throughout this part of Oklahoma, we must remind ourselves to be strong and courageous and replace your thoughts with God's Word. Joshua 1, 6 through 9 emphasizes the necessity for Joshua to know and obey God's Word as he leads God's people towards promise. And it's my heart, church, through this season that God would empower us just as he did Joshua, to lead God's people into what he has for their lives. With that in mind, why don't we study Joshua 1, verses 6 through 9. Joshua 1, 6 says this, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them." God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. In fact, it's the theme of this entire book. Did you realize that four separate times in Joshua 1, in verse 6, in verse 7, in verse 9, in verse 18, God commands his people to be strong in their commitment to him, not in light of their abilities, but his capabilities, not in light of who they were, but who God is. In fact, fascinating. Did you realize that when God commands Joshua to be strong and courageous, it is always used within the context of God's presence and support. In fact, previously, God had told his people in Deuteronomy 33, verse 25, "As your days, so shall your strength be." Church, let me contextualize that for you. God is as strong as your day is long. Look, these are crazy times. The world's just straight up gone bananas. There was none of us that could have really seen this coming, specifically the potential impact. There's none of us really that know what the next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks or even longer than that is available. But can I tell you that God is as strong as your day is long? In fact, Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Jesus says, "My grace is made sufficient in your weaknesses." That literally the things that you're holding on to right now that can captivate you, doubt, wondering what the future holds, you got to remind yourself of who holds the future. You got to remind yourself that when we have weaknesses, God has grace that is sufficient. In fact, Paul says, "I boast all the more in my weaknesses in, for where I am weak, he is strong." Whatever it is that continues to linger in our mind, whatever it is that continues to plague us with worry and with doubt, we've got a stronger God that is strong as your day is long. You've got to remind yourself, you have a king who is alive and is on his throne, and he is fighting inside of you. He's not only fighting for you, he's fighting in you right now. And so in light of this, God comes to God's people in Joshua 1. Their leader has gone. They've been mourning for 30 days, and he comes to his leader, Joshua, and says, "Be strong and courageous." Courage is believing then, God in me is mightier than the obstacle that is in front of me. But I just encourage you with that truth. whatever God has before us, may we take the faith that God has given us to this day right here. And may we remember God's promises of yesterday. And may we walk forward hand in hand together as God's people, knowing that courage is believing that God in me is mightier than whatever obstacle is in front of me. Be strong and courageous and replace your thoughts with God's word. With that in mind, look back at verse 6. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers and would give to them. Now, interestingly, the impetus is in Joshua 1:6 is on Joshua to remain strong, as Joshua was God's means to lead God's people from the wilderness to promise. Though many physical battles would come, though many obstacles lay ahead for God's people, God focuses on Joshua's heart and faith and obedience. And in this time, he's wanting to do the same with you. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Stop worrying about what would happen if this, this, and this don't align. No, build your faith and your fears will crumble. The promises of land and inheritance God previously promised to his people would come to fruition through Joshua, not by his military leadership, but by his obedient fellowship. Focus on building your heart, on strengthening your faith, and getting your life ready to obey as God moves in your life. Be strong and courageous. Replace your thoughts with God's word. You see, church, God had been preparing them for what he had prepared for them. Up until this point, God's people were in a holding pattern. God had miraculously delivered them from enslavement of over 400 years to Egypt. He then led them to a Red Sea and parted that Red Sea. But on the other side of the Red Sea, God's people, instead of becoming people of faith, became people of sight once again. What are we going to do with our food? What are we going to do with our water? How are we going to live and survive? Why don't we just go back to Egypt? And so it took a generation of wandering in the wilderness that God graciously taught his people not to depend upon themselves, but to depend upon God. And now they've lost their leader. And God reminds them, I'm still here. I'm still with you. God's people, they're going to come and go. But my purpose, my mission, my presence will remain with you forever. God had been preparing them for what he had prepared for them. You've got to remind yourself, church, that the greatest battles you will ever fight are spiritual, not physical. This challenge that God has given us, it is overwhelmingly a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. If COVID-19 has taught us anything, it reminds us that just because you can't see a virus, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You've got to remind yourself, church, that there's something greater in you that's fighting through you that is greater than this virus, that is greater than the obstacles and challenges of this world. It is God himself. And the same God that was with you is speaking right here through Joshua 1. Conquest was possible because God through them was unstoppable. In the next 7 years, because of God's presence and power and Joshua's obedient leadership, look what God's people accomplished. 7 nations were conquered, 31 kings defeated, 10,000 square miles of property claimed. The Jordan River opened up before them in Joshua 3:17. The wall of Jericho fell down in front of them in Joshua 6. Literally, the sun stands still in Joshua 10, verse 13. And the same God who literally granted them favor among any foe, the same God who parted the Jordan River, who made the walls of Jericho fall, who literally made the sun stand still, resides in you today. God's ability only needs an opportunity. We need to be people, not of sight, but of faith. We can't. God can. So regardless of what you're going through this morning, regardless if you're hanging out in your living room with your babies, regardless if you're traveling on the road trying to make ends meet, regardless if you're wondering how in the world the Lord even drew you to this live stream right here, you have to remind yourself that God is greater, that God's ability only needs an opportunity. And when you're at a standstill, he says, be still. When your life seems to be all wrong, he says, be strong. When things seem outrageous, he says to be courageous. Though times seem helpless in Christ, you are never hopeless. And though you may be tired, Open up your Bible because you can be inspired. When fear sees a disaster, faith sees a way to point people to the Master. And to the best of our abilities, by God's grace, that's exactly what we're going to do. Our strategies for now may be changing, but the mission will never change. Ministries may be paused, but ministry is ongoing. And so what I want to do is I want to encourage you with something that God has placed on my heart and something that our staff is beginning to run with, is that we're starting a new ministry called Meet a Need. We're taking the student center at our Broken Arrow campus and we're turning that into a mission center. We're taking the worship center at our Coweta campus and we're turning that into a mission center. And literally, we want to provide you an opportunity right now, today, from noon to 3 p.m. As we've already communicated this on social media and our website, there are certain goods that we're asking you to bring. There are certain needs in the Tulsa metro area and the state of Oklahoma that God has blessed us to meet those needs. And so as God continues to bless you, may you in turn use those blessings to bless others. Now that's from today, from noon to 3 p.m. at our student center at the Broken Arrow campus, at our worship center on the Coweta campus. We will have team members available that you can bring these goods right now. And then starting on Monday, we will have teams available to meet these needs. So as people, they come to our campuses and they have needs, we'll continue to meet those. We also will have members in the parking lots that will, if you can't come to us, by God's grace, we're going to come to you. Now, we do need to limit these spaces to 10 people for 1 hour only on both the Broken Arrow campus but the Coweta campus. But church, just as Jesus reached the few to reach the many, we're literally going to equip and inspire the few to help the many right now. Be strong and courageous. Replace your thoughts with God's word. With that in mind, look at verse 7. And only be strong and very courageous, the Bible says. There's that phrase again. Being careful to do according to all that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. It was J.I. Packer who wrote the renowned work, Knowing God, who said, if I were the devil, I would stop folks from digging into the Bible at all cost. Now think about this. In Joshua 1:7, Joshua had personally known Moses for over 40 years. He is now commanded to lead God's people by knowing and obeying and following and depending upon God's revelation to Moses. Now think about this. God's people in the Old Testament did not have their own personal Bibles. You know, the average American owns 4.4 Bibles. It wasn't so for God's people in the Old Testament. Instead, they had men of God who would read the law to them and then would live it out before them, which means God's word must not just be known, but shown. Church, in these tumultuous times, you may be the only Bible that people read. You may be the only Jesus that people see. And so in light of that, may we, just as God told Joshua, may we be careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. The entire Bible. Now, specifically within Joshua 1:7, Joshua was to observe and to keep and to do and to obey God's word as the priority in life. It specifically here is in reference to the whole law, the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The interesting thing is, thousands of years removed from this text, Lifeway, an entity of Southern Baptist churches, they came out with an exhaustive study of God's people, 46,000 churches last year. You know what they found? That literally Bible engagement is the greatest impact on one's spiritual growth. The same truth that God gives us here in Joshua 1:7. We are literally to come to the Word of God. Not just a sense of legislation or statutes, but rather a merciful revelation and instruction that God gives His people to guide them in life toward Jesus and blessing. God's word and promises are to saturate our soul, are to dominate our mind, and are to elevate our spirit. When we come to the word of God, we have to remind ourselves that it is the God of the word who is speaking to us. I had an example of this week where literally one of the most trending videos on Twitter is of a young boy named Archie. And Archie was born hearing impaired, has never heard a word in his life, and through technology and through listening devices and eventually cochlear implants, he was able to hear his mama's voice for the very first time, and look what happened. Pretty powerful. You know, if hearing a mother's voice and love for you for the very first time warrants that response, how much more in times like this that a Heavenly Father can speak to you when you open your Bible and say, I love you this much. Be strong and courageous. Replace your thoughts with God's word. Now, how do we do that? Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Joshua is to speak God's word as a way of life. Why? Because if God's word came from his mouth, then God's word was resting on his heart. Remember what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is residing on the inside will be made evident on the outside. In light of that, God says the same thing, that you and I are to not let this word depart from our mouth. So we're to meditate on it day and night. Why? Because God is mindful to have your mind full of his word. You know, church, there's many voices today that you can be listening to. There's a void of doubt. There's a voice of a lack of confidence. There's a voice of concern. You need to have your mind full of God's word. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, that we are to hold every thought captive. That any time our thoughts begin to wander into fear, no, we are to hold them captive and bring them back to God's truth of faith. Anytime we begin to wander into doubt, we're to remind ourselves of the confidence that we have in Christ. Anytime that we are feeling left alone, isolated, we're to remind ourselves that we have a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. We are to hold every thought captive in Christ by God's word. We are to meditate day and night so that we may be careful to do according to all that is written in the Bible. That word meditate there is of a word that means to prolong in thought. To continuously mutter or to recite, to ponder over and over and over again. God desires to be at the center of every thought, every decision, every aspect of your life. Meditation, then, speaks to an intentionality beyond the mere reading of the Bible, but actively thinking of how God intends us to think by diligently engaging God's word. Meditation, then, is not emptying your mind, but filling it with God himself through his word until it affects every sphere of your life. For God's people in Joshua, it consisted of three primary things. One, hearing the law and then focusing on who God is. Hearing the law and then focusing on what God has done. Hearing the law and then focusing on what God promises to do. For us, you and I, we have more than five books of the Old Testament. We have 66 books in the entire Bible that we can remind ourselves of who God is and what he has done and what he promises to do. In fact, we have an illustration in the state of Oklahoma that you can remind yourselves every single day. In fact, we have 4.3 million cows right now in our state. We have more cows than people. The same word here used for meditate can be illustrative of what cows do every single day. Cows chew their food, cows swallow their food, and then they spit it back up again as it goes through their chambers and their stomach. It's actually quite disgusting, but hey, it's what they do. And we love them for it because you know what? When I think of cows in Oklahoma, I think of this. And so, church, what I want to do is that the next time you see a Brahms, may it remind you that you are to meditate upon the word of God day and night. You're not just to read it. You're to engage God's word. You're then to internalize it. You're to think about God's word. And then it's coming out. You need to live God's word. meditation replaces our thoughts with God's word. So you may say, well, Pastor, what in the world does that look like? Let me give you five ways to prayerfully personalize and practice meditating upon God's word. In fact, why don't we use Joshua 1, 6 through 9 as a reference? Number one, open your Bible. Read the Bible. Pray that God would fill your mind with his word. And then as you read the Bible, go back, grab you a good Brahms milkshake, grab you a good cup of coffee, and 10 to 15 minutes begin to go through these. Ask the text these five questions. Number one, what does the text reveal about God's character, ability, or power? Well, in light of this text, it reveals that God's character, he's faithful, despite our unfaithfulness. He's never leave us nor forsake us. His ability and power, wow, the same God that split the Jordan River, the same God that made the walls of Jericho fall, the same God that made the sun stand still, resides in me and in my life. Wow. Number two, how does the text challenge me to be more like Jesus? Well, if you were to study the book of Joshua, you would find that Joshua's name means Yeshua in the Greek, the God who saves. If you study Jesus' name in the New Testament, it's the same thing, Yeshua. God will save. So just as God, through Joshua, led his people from the wilderness to promise, God has sent his one and only Son, who will lead us from a wilderness of doubt and shame and guilt and fear to a promised land of a forever relationship with him the moment we repent of our sin and we place our full faith and trust in him. Wow. Number three, how does the text reveal something I should change in my attitude or my commitments or lifestyles? Well, God commands that we are to not let his word depart from our mouths. God commands that we're to meditate upon his word day and night, that we're to be careful to do what is according written in this book, which means that I've got to change my attitudes, that my life isn't about me, it's about God. My life isn't about my way, but God's way. My commitments aren't based upon what I think is important, but rather what God says in his word. My lifestyle is not to be about the world following me, but rather me following Jesus. Number four, does the text reveal something I should pray, praise, or trust God for? God was asking his people once again to be people of faith. The same God is asking us and expecting us to do the same thing, to trust him with all our heart in this times. And so in light of that, I praise God who would consider us worthy, church, to go through such a season as this so we can point as many people to Jesus Christ. Wow. Number five, does the text reveal something I should do? Obviously, this text is asking us to be strong and courageous. How? By replacing your thoughts with God's word. Finally, look at verse 9 in closing. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? There's that phrase again. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God, in verse 9, promises to enable and to empower Joshua and his people to obey God's instruction and fulfill God's purpose as they head to promise. I was reminded of a Scottish hymn from 1650 that was based upon Psalm 46, verses 1 through 2, in studying this text, and really just kind of in light of where we are. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present aid, and though the earth remove, we will not be. Can I encourage you, O church of faith, not fear, that God's promises are always right on time. And the same God who was with Joshua and his people can be with you today. You see, there's a greater Joshua that has come, and his name is Jesus Christ. And in the first book of the New Testament, Matthew says that his name would be Jesus because, in verse 21, he will save his people from their sins. It also says in verse 23 that he will be Emmanuel, God with us. So regardless if you're in Broken Arrow, in Coweta, in the Tulsa metro area, all around the world, you have a God who is able to be with you wherever you go. You have a God who can provide peace in the storm. You have a God who can provide courage in anything he's asking you to do. And you have a God that by faith, that actively desires to love you and to lead you wherever he takes you by God's grace. For he is Emmanuel, God with us. And if you're here today and you desire a personal relationship with him, all you have to do is repent of your sin. Repent of saying life is about me and my way. And I trust the Lord. And not what I do or didn't do, but on what Jesus Christ has done. And I place my full faith and trust in him. And if you're here today and you're desiring to talk to one of our ministers right now about how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, just in the comments section right now, type J-E-S-U-S, type Jesus, and we have someone ready right now who's wanting to talk to you about how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here and you do know the Lord and you're just looking for comfort, may God's promises always be right on time. And as you continue to be a people, not of fear, but of faith, may the Lord keep you until we're together again. Be strong and courageous. Replace your thoughts with God's word. I'd love to pray with you as we close today. If you would please bow your head and close your eyes. I'd love to have a prayer blessing over you right now. Father God, we come to you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Father, we remind ourselves that, Lord, you are still on your throne. That, Father, where we are weak, you are strong. Father, where we are timid, you are courageous. Father God, as our thoughts begin to wander into areas of doubt and to fear and just what in the world is going to happen, God, may you replace those thoughts with your word. And Father, as we open up your Bible, may you open up our minds and our hearts and our lives to be more and more like you. May we be strong and courageous. May we replace our thoughts with God's word. And everyone said, amen. Church, I love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. I can't wait to be with you again.